Caroline, Whitley, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators are in action tonight hosting the Calgary Flames. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We'll have all of your pregame coverage starting right here on 102.5 The Game starting at 6 p.m. D. Mace is back today. Willie D. will join us shortly after morning skate. D. Mace, we missed you yesterday, but happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back. I can say this. Men, when you are turning 50 or about to turn 50, please go get your colonoscopy. Please go do it. You need to do it. Do not wait. Do not, you know, procrastinate on it because, you know, it's better safe than sorry.
Right.
You don't want to get into a situation where, you know, you miss, going or appointments, and then all of a sudden you go get a checkup and there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is a preventative measure, you know. So if they do see something, hopefully it's early enough where they can get it taken care of. But just be in constant communications with your doctor,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if it's not for you, it's for someone else, your wife, your kids, your family members. You know, take care of yourself. Man,
we tend
to think we can do everything on our own, and we pop an aspirin and we're good. No, it's not that. It's not that way. Go take care of your body. If you take care of your body will take care of you. Believe me. So go get it checked out when you I had one done at 41 because I have cancer. A history of cancer in my family. My mom passed away from it. My dad, grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a history of it. So when I turned 41, I wasn't supposed to get until I was 45, but it's like, I might as well do it now.
Right.
And then do it again subsequently 10 years later. And from what I was told, there was nothing, but obviously they got to run the test, but I'm sure there's nothing to be alarmed about. So, you know, I'm glad I did it.
Glad that you did it. It's
Absolutely.
Not ever a fun thing to do.
No, it's
to
not.
Go through something like that, but it's something that you need to do.
Exactly.
And like you said, do it for yourself, do it for your loved ones, take care of yourself, look after yourself. It's worth all of the time and maybe the troubles that it might bring you.
Exactly.
It's absolutely worth it to take care of yourself. So we're glad to have you back and glad everything went well for you mm-hmm. yesterday, D. Mace. But yesterday, you know, Demas, I would love to say, well, you didn't miss anything. I'd be lying. Because we had some tea yesterday.
Oh, man.
So you and I talked about earlier this week what Michael Lombardi said on the GM Shuffle podcast. He brought up how there might be friction between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. And then Jason Lacanfora put out in the Washington Post an article about bringing up the same thing, how the relationship between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon might be a troubled one. He even referenced two anonymous general managers across the NFL that brought up Mike Vrabel's future. Mm. One GM said, yeah, I could see a trade happening in the future. And another GM said, yeah, no, I've been hearing that they're not getting along too well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are just a couple examples of so many things that we have heard. We heard it from Jason Fitz on Jared's show a couple of weeks ago. We heard it from Charles Robinson when he joined Robbie and Rexrod a few weeks ago. We heard it from Michael Lombardi. We heard it from Jason Lacanfora. We heard it from all different national insiders, people that are in the know. We've been talking about it for what?
Yes.
Months?
Yes.
And we've been even talking about it. We've been questioning if this dynamic would work ever since Rand Carthon was hired. We've been questioning, hey, does the collaboration work? Does it work when there isn't a clear-cut chain of command? So this isn't new. The smoke is not new. And I always say if there's smoke, there's fire. And there's a whole lot of smoke surrounding Mike Vrabel, his future here, and his commitment to working with Rand Carthon. So finally, yesterday, Mike Vrabel was asked about it. He was asked about the reports. He was asked about his future. This was Mike Vrabel in his press conference yesterday.
Mike, there's been a lot of, I guess, stuff on social media, reports from outside that say, you know, talk about your relationship with Rand, your, you know, perceived unhappiness or whatever here. Do you have to address those types of things with the players? Because most players are on social media and whatnot today.
No, I don't, because, again, if we believed everything that was on social media, you know, it'd be Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and there's no Tooth Fairy and all that. So I really have never responded to any of those, and we're not going to start now. I know where we're at as an organization. I'm excited to build this thing and to fix this thing and get it to where we want it to be, to win championships with Ran and Chad and A-Rob and a coaching staff and everybody. I mean, that's what our goal is. So, but no, the social media and where that is, and I can't focus on that.
Okay, that was Mike Vrabel in his press conference yesterday, asked about he and Rand Carthon. Look, and this was brought up yesterday on Jared versus Joe. When Terry asked the question, and I'm glad that Terry did ask the question, it's overdue. And good on Terry for asking that question. But it's not just about social media.
Exactly.
It's not just social media rumors. Like, it was on the Washington Post a couple of days ago. This isn't just a social media rumor. But then there was a follow-up to what Mike Vrabel said. He said he's committed to winning championships here with Ran. This was his follow-up.
So you want to be here last next year?
Of course I want to be here. Be here as long as we can win and long as we can, you know, do this thing. And it's been great, but it also has been, you know, just frustrating this year. And nobody wants to be where we're at. You know, you feel, you know, for the players, you know, having been in that situation, those guys are out there selling out, and yeah, you feel for them when you look out there on the field, and we're not winning, or you know, it's pretty obvious. But you know, the one thing that, you know, allows me to at least sleep at night is, you know, when the games, you know, we had a clunker in Jacksonville and in Houston, and we're out there, you know, fighting, not letting them run through us, you know, for 40, 50 yards and all that. And I know that there's no moral victories, and that's not a moral victory, but it's just a lot of times in those situations, you can just pack it up and pack it in. And, you know, so that's, you know, that was last week. And now this week we have to be in a different situation, you know, talked about the ability to put ourselves in that competitive situation, you know, where the game has some flow to it. And, you know, you make a play, you get a turnover, right? You pin them down, and you start playing complimentary. So talk to the team again, you know, about that and about eliminating, you know, some of the mistakes, you know, that are just, you know, that come at critical times and that, you know, make it tough to overcome.
All right, so Mike Vrabel asked, so you want to be here? Of course I want to be here. He said he's committed to winning championships with Ran. My question for you, D-Mace. Do you believe him?
I mean, hey, listen, I believe him until, you know, he shows me different. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else he was supposed to say. He's not going to flat out. Even if he didn't want to be here, mm-hmm. he's not going to flat out and say,
he's not going to say, this place actually stinks. Exactly. It's a dumpster fire. I want out.
I want out of this place. I hate the owner. I hate the GM.
Yeah.
He's not going to say anything like that because he knows that when you say that, you burn every bridge in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. You burn all your bridges, and you may even burn some in college. So he's not going to go that far. But, again, I am a person that pays attention to words that people say. That's why I try to be very careful with, you know, when I'm talking with someone, and whether it's a disagreement or anything else, I try to be very careful with my words, because I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm saying,
right,
or they can carry it and say, well, he really meant this. He said, yeah, I want to be here. Of course I want to be here. I mean, look, as long as we can win. As long as we can win.
Well, you're not winning right now.
That's the magical phrase.
Uh-huh.
In all of that. As long as we can win. I want to be here.
Nick, can we get that again, please? Just that, the beginning of Gentry's question there. Or Glennon's question.
So you want to be here next year?
Of course I want to be here. Be here as long as we can win.
All right.
As long as we can win. I mean, listen, take it for what you want.
Uh-huh.
You know, take it for what you want. But those words, just like when, you know, he was saying other things about getting people the ball, we don't know. Dude, people see through, if you really pay attention, people see through those things. When people don't want you to see through, they start talking a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, They give you an answer, but they talk a lot.
Yeah.
And you may miss your answer because you're listening to the whole thing. No, don't listen to the whole thing. Listen to what he's saying. Like, one part of what, as long as I can win. So that's either, you know, you can go this route. Either you can say, well, Amy end up firing him, or mm-hmm. Randy end up firing him. Or, hey, listen, as long as we can win. And really, we can't win.
No.
We haven't been winning. The last two seasons, we haven't been winning. So, on one hand, he says, I want to be here, and I believe him. He's telling the truth. I believe, you know, he wants to be here. Hell, there's 32 of these jobs, and, you know, they are coveted jobs. A lot of people want these jobs. Mm-hmm. And you're just not going to do something deliberately to give away that job. You know, you get paid a lot of money to do something that you enjoy. So you're not going to sit here and say, hell no, I don't want to be here. Amy, fire me now.
Yeah, Amy, I'm walking New out England actually exactly. sounds a lot better than it does here.
You're not
going to
say that.
No, I don't want
to
be here.
But if you listen to his words, it's like, as long as I can win. Well, can you win?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. Can you win moving forward? Does this roster, is this a winning roster moving forward? Because you got a lot of holes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be here while you're filling those holes? Because a lot of coaches don't get an opportunity to sort of live out the rebuild, so to speak.
Right.
A lot of people don't get a chance. A lot of coaches don't get a chance to live that out in the sense of coaching.
And that's one thing that I talked about with Willie yesterday when Robbie and Joe were talking about it. How many coaches in the NFL can you think of mm-hmm. that came in, had success, had a couple of down years, and then brought their team back and had more success afterward?
Not many.
Maybe Mike Tomlin?
Tomlin, but Tomlin never had a losing season. That's the crazy part about it.
It hasn't been – you haven't had your peaks in your valleys. Uh-huh. A lot of times coaches can't live past the valleys.
Exactly.
Or, yeah, the valleys.
Yeah. Some coaches can't – they can't work or they can't they won't survive the build,
right.
The rebuild. And
you don't get the opportunity.
You don't get the opportunity. It sounds great in theory when, yeah, we're rebuilding and this is going to happen. And everybody understands it.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is a what have you done for me now sport,
uh-huh.
especially football, it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to go through this rebuild. But if I don't see progress, you gone. You ain't going to survive the rebuild.
Right.
So it's the question should be asked this. Is this team in a position to win moving forward? That should be the question. Now, I know
do you think they are?
Free agency comes in play, and I know the draft is coming up. They're going to make a lot of changes next year.
Mm-hmm.
They held out from trying to make those changes last year. For whatever reason, they wanted to try to get, let's give it another go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you held on to the stick too long, and it burned you. You held on to that stick too long, and it burned you.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to run it back? You wanted to hold it and like, no, it burned you now. Now, are you in a position to make a drastic change from this year to next year? Because it has to be a drastic change. Mm-hmm. It has to be an eight-game change. Can this team make an eight-game change to get in the playoff? Let me see, eight? Yeah, let's say seven-game change, six, seven-game change. There has to be a six or seven-game swing in order for this team to be considered a legitimate, you know, playoff contending team.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it? Can they put in enough pieces to get this team from where they're at now to a different place,
mm-hmm.
a better place? Okay, if you say they do, then okay. Let's see. Let's go down the line. They got to replace 4 to 5 on offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They have to. Or at least three. Let's say three.
Yeah.
3 to 5 on offensive line. They got to get them another running back.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get them another receiver or two. Traylon, I'll talk about you later. They got to get them another receiver or
uh-huh.
two.
Corners.
That's only on offense.
That's offensively.
Defensively, corners.
Safeties.
Safeties. Some more guys that can rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you got to get depth. You have to get depth. Even though I do like, is it Monty? Not Monty Rice. What's the linebacker that just started the last two games? I sent you guys the clip.
Otis Reese?
Yeah, Otis Reese. I like Otis Reese.
Yeah.
He's a player.
Uh-huh.
Or at least he's shown the last two games. He's a player. So maybe they found a diamond in the rough right there with Otis Reese. But they have to replace or upgrade so much on this team. I've been saying this for the last 2 years. This roster isn't good, and people kept saying, well, you have to look at that winning games. It's just because of injuries. No, it's not because of injuries. Injuries allowed it to come to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And injuries was like the mask being taken off, though, the veil being opened up.
I can get on board with injuries last year. This year, that's not the problem.
It's not the problem. But even last year, this wasn't a good roster, like depth-wise. They had no depth. You got to have depth in this league because this league is, you know what? This league is 100% injury. 100%. They're going to get injured. Somebody's going to get injured on that offensive line, on that defensive line, secondary. Somebody's going to get injured every year. You have to be able to have that depth, the plug and play. Plug and play. That's what this sport is about, plug and play. They didn't have it. It showed last year. And people were like, oh, no, it's just injuries. That's why. Well, yes, it's a part of it. But when you don't have the depth, that's why people listen to me. I've done this for 20-something years of my life. It looks good at the top, shiny. But when guys get hurt, that's when you start to see the true nature of a roster.
And it wasn't even good at the top.
Exactly. It wasn't great at the top. But they had Derrick Henry. They had Ryan still playing well.
Last year,
before he got hurt, Jeffrey was playing well. So Kevin Byard was playing well. So you had like three or four guys that sort of helped keep that boat like afloat. But when Ryan Tannehill got hurt, that's one rudder that went out. One rudder went out, and then another guy gets hurt. Jeffrey Simmons, he get another. Now we ain't even pushing forward anymore.
Treylon Burks.
We ain't even pushing forward anymore. We're going every way. The waves is just taking us every way. People, this wasn't a good roster last year. It wasn't a good roster this year. And it's shown even more this year. But last year, it should have told everybody. That's why I was, you know, with the certain moves they made in the offseason, that's why it's just so, like, baffling and disappointing that at least from – I look at it from Ray, but that's why I say I don't blame Rand for this. You know, now next year, if they don't get it right, he's still, But I don't.
So in terms of the roster, because I'm with you, the roster was horrendous, starting with the offensive line. I mean, you have 4 to 5 backups on the offensive line. Whose fault is that?
That's Vrabel's fault. It is Vrabel's fault because he knew this roster. When Rand came in, what did he say? I have to evaluate this roster. He didn't have much time to evaluate it. You know, because you have free agency coming up. You got to scout these guys coming out of college. Then you got the draft coming up. So, yes, I am going to, you know, evaluate the roster, but I can't really evaluate it like I really need to. That's why when the question was asked of Ryan Tannehill, listen to the words, people. Just listen to what people say. He says, listen, I have to evaluate him first. Because he didn't. He didn't know Ryan Tannehill. He didn't. They played against him, but he wasn't the one that was scouting him.
Yeah.
He had to learn this roster. That's why I don't put it on Rand that last offseason. That's more so a Vrabel. Vrabel, you knew this roster. This is your roster. You knew it. You knew it backwards and forwards. You know, knew it like the back of your hand. And you still chose to make the moves that you did. Because here's the thing, Caroline. You can't give him excuses, meaning Vrabel. You can't give him an excuse now when at the beginning you say he was running the ship.
No, there's no excuses.
I'm going to say that again. You can't give him an excuse now when you said yesterday he was running the ship.
Right.
You can't do that. Okay? So if he's running the ship yesterday and there's problems today, whose fault should it be?
It's his fault.
It's Vrabel's fault.
And it's not exclusively Vrabel's fault.
It's not.
Like I look at Andre Dillard, for example.
See, I don't know. I know many there's this speculation that was Rand's guy. That was Rand's guy. I think that was both of their guys. I think both of them agreed on it.
And that's the tricky thing. And that's why I go back to the conversations that we were having a year ago today of don't you think things are going to get a little bit hairy whenever it's a quote-unquote collaboration, whenever you're working together, whenever there is not – it's not entirely clear who has final say because blame – is an important thing in the National Football League. You get hired and fired for the players that you decide to acquire. You get hired and fired for the players that you bring in and that you send out. So I think it's important to know who gets blame for probably the biggest smudge on this last year's offseason and Andre Dillard. Because how many games would have been different had the Titans just had a serviceable offensive line?
And that's
3 to 4 games of a difference.
That's a funny thing to say. It's like if they just had a serviceable guy.
If it was below average.
Yeah.
I don't even need it to. I don't need it to be great. I don't need it to be best in the NFL. I just need you to create running holes for Derrick Henry and protect the quarterback, and they couldn't do that.
Yeah. You got two guys hurt.
Yep.
You got two guys hurt. So when I look at this roster, and I put more of the blame on Vrabel because he knew this roster. This was his roster with the help of John Robinson. These were his guys. And then it ends up being a cluster.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now, I blame this on Rand. No, I blame it on Vrabel. Now, moving forward, if this thing don't get straightened out, then yeah, Rand has to be held accountable for the things moving forward.
Right.
You know, so to me, everyone should have saw this a long time ago, that this roster was not good the last two seasons. It was held by, you know, a thread. And that thread, or two threads, and that thread, you know, was Derrick Henry. That's who, truly, that's who that thread was. Derrick Henry held this together. And when he couldn't hold it together anymore, look at what's happening.
And I don't think that Ran is blameless in
now,
this situation.
Now, moving forward, it's a different story.
Right. I don't think Rand is blameless in this situation because when you are as bad as this team was, nobody is absolved of blame.
No, you're
everybody
right.
has a finger pointed to them in some way or another. But we talked with Tim Hasselbeck earlier this week. He said there's somebody that shouldn't be blamed. And I disagree. And I want to get your thoughts on it. And I want to discuss that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Willie, D. Mace, we're broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Visit springhillac.com. Live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena, the Predators hosting the Calgary Flames tonight. We're breaking down what Mike Vrabel had to say in his press conference yesterday. He said, look, I'm committed to being here and winning championships with Ran and Chad Brinker. So you want to be here? Of course I want to be here next year. Now look, when Mike Vrabel says, I want to be here next year, I believe him. Partly because where else are you going to go? Yeah. You know, how much peachier is it on the other side? You want to go to New England? You don't have a quarterback in New England. You want to go to Atlanta? You don't have a quarterback in Atlanta either. Now, the Chargers could be an intriguing place, but I don't think Mike Vrabel's going to go to the Los Angeles Chargers.
He don't seem like an L.A. guy.
No. He's more rugged, chip on his shoulder kind of guy. He doesn't look like an avocado toast kind of guy. So, yeah, partly it's, you know, where else are you going to go? Now, does Mike Vrabel saying that yesterday now alleviate all of my worries? Does it discount all of the reports that were put out there of issues between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, or maybe Mike Vrabel isn't entirely happy in Tennessee? Of course not, because what else is Mike Vrabel going to say? But it's at least questions that needed to be asked. Now, D-Mace, you say when it comes to blame, because I think when you're, you know, a 5-12 football team,
there's a lot of blame.
There's a whole lot of blame to go around. You put a majority of the blame on Mike Vrabel. Now, Tim Hasselbeck disagreed. I want to get into what Tim Hasselbeck said. I want to break that down. I'm going to get your thoughts on it. I want to share my thoughts on it. But first, I want to get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Philip is on the line with a thought on the collaboration. What's up, Philip?
So my question is for D-Mace. Derek, when he names those other guys like Chad and Rand and A-Rod, is that a way for Mike to deflect blame from himself, knowing that he's really at fault for the roster, but by throwing those other guys in saying, hey, it wasn't just me, it was these guys too, and that way not only to Amy, but for these other guys that he's looking to get jobs for, he can say, well, it wasn't all on me. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Philip.
Thank you, Philip. Appreciate it. I'm not sure it's that. I think it's because, again, if he just said, you know, yeah, I work well with Moran Carthon, then somebody else is going to come back and say, well, what about those other guys that sort of is in line too? Mm-hmm. He want to make sure he cover all his bases. That's what it's about. Let me cover all my bases. It's like, listen, I get along with Rand and this guy and that guy and that guy. We all get along. I love working with them. So you can never come back and say, well, how do you feel about this guy? Because he is Rand's right-hand man. You know, he is the guy that helps evaluate these players. How do you feel about this guy? I think it's more of that than maybe, you know, the blame game. But, I mean, I can understand why Philip would say that, too, because it's mm-hmm. like, I'm going to name all these guys because I just don't want you to think that it's just me or it's my fault or right. Everybody has a hand in this. Like, I have a good relationship and I work well with all of these guys, so we all have a hand in this. Mm-hmm. It's not just me. This roster is not just the lack of personnel is not just on me.
Yeah.
It's on all of us. I work well with all of these guys. So I could see why Philip would think that. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that he's completely wrong. I just think I want to make sure y'all don't come back to me and say, well, you know, he's Rand's right-hand guy. Mm-hmm. Do you get along with him?
Yeah.
You know, he helps in an evaluation. Do you get along with him? Yeah, I get along with everybody.
I think it's a classic case of you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because if he didn't mention Rand Carthon, well, then and he said, you know, I'm committed to winning championships here. Mm-hmm. By yourself?
Exactly.
With or without Rand? Are you committed to working with Rand? So I think that he needed to bring up Rand Carthon's name. I understand the perspective, but I also don't think that anything that Mike Vrabel says and bringing up Chad Brinker and bringing up Rand Carthon absolves him of any sort of blame.
No.
And if Amy Adams Strunk listens to what he had to say in a press conference and all of a sudden says, you know what, Mike, you're right. It's not just you. I'm going to fire everyone else too. I don't think that's a very good move by the owner. So no. I don't think that Mike Vrabel's necessarily absolving himself of any sort of blame. But when we look at a blame pie, I do believe that Mike Vrabel deserves more of a slice than Rand Carthon because he is not innocent in all of this mess. If we're going to say that he has final say, which I do believe that he does, then he should deserve more of the blame. That 7-game losing streak last season isn't because of what Rand Carthon did.
No, it had nothing to do with Rand.
Rand Carthon's not absolved of blame because I put Andre Dillard on Rand Carthon. Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron Brewer's part of the problem as well. I think Aaron Brewer's Mike Vrabel's guy, so I have to put Aaron Brewer on Mike Vrabel. But again, that's all speculation because we don't know who has final say. We don't know what the chain of command looks like behind closed doors. That's part of the problem. That's what I was afraid of. I think that's what you were afraid of. I think that's what a lot of Titans fans were afraid of when this collaboration began.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the blame pie, I put more of a slice on Vrabel's plate. You do as well. Tim Hasselbeck, though, does not. Mm-hmm. He joined us earlier this week, and he said that Mike Vrabel isn't the problem in Tennessee. This was what Tim Hasselbeck had to say.
I'm never big on one of the last, you know, whatever, 2-3 games of a season, sometimes 1-2 games of a season. And these games are the games that we are using to decide if we're keeping our head coach or not. Like, I don't subscribe to that. I think there's a much bigger body of work, you know, over the years that I think is evidence to, all right, like, is it the coach or have we hit a tough spot with our personnel? And so, I guess, you know, I'm probably giving away my answer there a little bit. Like, for me, with Mike Vrabel, I know he's a good coach, and I know that if he was available, teams that have openings would be dying to talk to him. And I'm not saying that sometimes a change of scenery doesn't help everybody, but, look, I don't look at it and say, hey, Mike Vrabel is the problem with the Tennessee Titans.
So he says that Mike Vrabel's not the problem with the Tennessee Titans. One thing that he said there, you know, if he was available, there would be a lot of teams clamoring for him. I don't care.
Yeah.
I truly do not care. If he gets picked, if he gets fired today and picked up tomorrow, great, wonderful. His how desirable he is on the market is a complete non-factor for me. If he's not working here, he's not working here. But Tim Hasselbeck says that Mike Vrabel's not the problem here. I don't know how you can definitively say that when we don't know who has final say. I believe it's Mike Vrabel, but that's based off of nothing that I know or nothing that's been reported.
No, and you know, we don't know because they're not sharing who has, like, how does the chain of command operate? We know where it starts with Amy because she's stroking all the checks. It's her team.
Yeah.
So we know where the chain starts, but along that line, where do certain individuals fit? Mm-hmm. We don't know because they said this is a collaboration. Well, if you're going to have a collaboration, there needs to be some connection. Mm-hmm. You can't have a collaboration without connection. So there's a disconnect somewhere. You know, that's what many believe. There's a disconnect somewhere. You're screaming collaboration, but there's no connection. You know, like you said, there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I mean, who runs the ship? Who does? Last segment, I said, listen, you can't blame that on Rand Carthon because before Rand got here, this roster was what it was. Mm-hmm. Last year when they went on a 7-game, 8-game losing streak because of some injuries. Injuries just exposed the lack of depth they had. That's all injuries did. It was still there. The lack of depth was still there, and they were crossing their fingers like, please don't let nobody get hurt. But the minute those guys started to fall off, the production started to fall off. Mm-hmm. You're only as strong as your weakest link. Well, their weakest link started the minute some of those starters started falling off to injury. Mm-hmm. Then you got to see truly what this team was. Did they play hard? Hell yeah, they played hard. Absolutely. I wouldn't have expected anything less. In 04, when we got decimated with injuries, those guys came out and played hard. McCullough and Dane and Sidney, all those guys came in and they played their tails off. But there was a drop-off. You know, there was a drop-off from the starters. Last year, when they started occurring all these injuries, it just exposed the roster of who this roster really was. And that I do blame on Vrabel and John. Both of them had a hand in that because they built this roster. This season is, I put more of the blame on Vrabel than, and again, I'm not absolving Rand from anything. But I can't be blamed for everything when I just walk in.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm just walking into the house. The house is a mess. And it's like, man, I got to evaluate. I got to look through all this stuff first before we can do anything. But people want to move stuff out and do. And it's like, whoa. I need to evaluate. I need to look at things. That was Rand coming in, and he came into a mess. He had some good china. He had a very expensive painting in Derrick Henry that was just sitting on the wall by itself. He had another expensive painting in Jeffrey Simmons by a young painter. But everything else was a mess. And he's like, let me evaluate this stuff. That's why I said this season, upcoming, this offseason, that's when it starts for me with Rand. That's when it starts for me with Rand. But I don't dissolve Vrabel from any. Vrabel, he has more of the pie than anybody.
And when we talk about the blame game, the blame pie, and when you're 5-12, fingers are going to be pointed. That is a blame game. Sports are a blame game. It's who's hired, who's fired, whose fault is it? There's one person that I think deserves a bigger slice than both of them that we haven't even mentioned. And that's Amy Adams Strunk.
It's her team.
It's her team. It was her decision to bring in this collaboration. It was her decision to fire John Robinson when the team was 7-5 and had a commanding lead over the division. Mm-hmm. It was. If we're going to talk about final say, if Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon don't agree, maybe it's not Vrabel who has final say. Maybe it goes up to Amy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Amy that has final say. I mean, it is her team after all.
Yeah.
She is the owner after all. We don't know who has final say, so I think anything is on the table. Amy Adams Strunk, I think, is the root cause of all of this. Because what have we been talking about for months? It's the relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. Well, that falls on Amy Adams Strunk. If they, in fact, don't get along, which I think that it could be on the table, there's a whole lot of smoke there, and if Amy Adams Strunk doesn't decide to do anything about it, either move on from one of them or both of them or do some sort of change, Well, that falls on her. You can't afford to have any sort of friction between the two powers that be within your organization. It ultimately falls on Amy Adams Drunk. This was her doing. This was her construction. It was her decision to move on from John Robinson. It was her decision to have a collaboration. It was her decision to give Mike Vrabel more power and to bring in Rand Carthon. It's on Amy, too.
You know what? I'm starting to, like, this word, like, collaboration. I'm not sure that how did this word even come about in this situation? That, not necessarily the word. I know the word, yes, the definition, yes. But was this? Did we ever question that?
Like, oh, yeah,
did we ever say no? I'm saying, did we ever say John and Mike are their collab?
Well, because they weren't. It was Amy Adams Drunk was the owner, John Robinson was the general manager, and it was Mike Vrabel as the coach.
And,
1, 2, 3 hierarchy.
Exactly, and that's what I'm getting to. It sort of feeds into what you're saying, and there could be some truth. I don't know, could not be, but there could be some truth. Why all of a sudden now, when it wasn't a collaboration, it was this is the hierarchy, why all of a sudden now it's a collaboration? Think about that. You hire a GM. I know you want to keep your coach in place, but you're hiring a GM. What is their – they're going to get together and discuss things, period. That's just how it is. If you want to have a good relationship, that's how it is. Like, regardless of whoever has the hierarchy, y'all are going to discuss some things, players together, evaluate whatnot, what I see, what I don't see, what I like, what I don't like. That's going to happen. But why was it this, like, again, just listen to people. Why did they make an emphasis on collaboration? Like, just that one word. They made this, the whole offseason was about what? Collaboration. Mm-hmm. That was the new word out of the Webster Dictionary. Collaboration.
That was shoved down our throats
exactly.
By all of them.
It's the narrative they want to push, like just like anything. If I say it enough in front of enough people, you tend to start to believe it instead of thinking like, well, why are they trying to push this? They don't have to. Why are you? Because if you're hiring a GM, we just think the GM, then the head coach, they should work well together if you're trying to build a winning team. That should happen. I know it doesn't in all situations, but that should happen. And it's, why was it we're going to push this collaboration? I guarantee you somebody in PR said, this word right here, it'll get us through. Let's push that word. And then it'll get off, we get off everything else. Ask yourself, why? Maybe this is my conspiracy theory coming up. I don't know. And I could talk to you because you're a conspiracy.
We're pro-conspiracy theory show.
So why did all of a sudden they start using this word collaboration when it never was used before?
Because it's a different dynamic.
I understand it's a different dynamic.
Because John Robinson was Mike Vrabel's boss. But I don't think Rand Carthon is Mike Vrabel. In fact, I feel pretty confident in saying Rand Carthon's not Mike Vrabel's boss.
But, okay, think of this as the business world, because essentially that's what it is, the business world. You have your owner of a business, then how does chain command go? Owner, president, CEO, something like that, whichever way. So if a company they've hired all these people and, you know, you fire the president, CEO's right underneath them, you fire the president or the president, CEO, whatever. When they bring in a new president, they don't talk about collaboration. It's you run the ship. You're the guy that's replacing the guy that ran the ship. So you run the ship. Get to know everybody. Mm-hmm. Work well with everybody. But it's your job. Because if you don't get it right, we're going to fire you. And then maybe we'll fire everybody else down the chain of command. But we're going to start with you if you don't get this right.
Which is why Amy Adams Drunk deserves a majority of the blame, I believe. Because it was her who cooked up the collaboration. Uh-huh. And the collaboration's not working.
But there never should have been this key word of collaboration. This, you know, when you say collaboration, I think now when you say collaboration around here in Nashville, first thing they say is Vrabel and Rand Carthon.
Probably.
That's the first thing.
It's synonymous.
Collaboration. Vrabel. What are you
it's
talking about?
No,
I'm not talking
the
about the Titans. Exactly. So it's collaboration is synonymous with that. You didn't, even though, you know, the Preds did it sort of the conventional way, you hire your GM, and then you hire your head coach. But they didn't throw out collaboration. We'll work well together, but we know who's running the ship. Mm-hmm. Barry's running the ship.
Yep.
And he's going to make sure that Coach Bruno has what he needs to make this a winning team, and it's working so far. Why did they insert collaboration on this side? It didn't need to be. If you're hiring this man to do a job at the GM, let him do his job. They'll work it out. Just say, hey, listen, y'all work well. We're trying to win ball games. Mm-hmm. That's all it's about.
So what are they going to do about it? That's the question that we'll get into coming up next. We'll also get into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. This Monday, tune in at 6:30 p.m. as Washington and Michigan face off in the College Football Playoff National Championship game, only on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment.
And I could talk to you because you're a conspiracy.
We're pro-conspiracy theory show.
So why did all of a sudden they start using this word collaboration when it never was used before?
Get your tinfoil hat on, D-Maze. Live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick joins the program. We're breaking down Mike Vrabel's comments in his press conference yesterday. Of course I want to be here. I'm committed to winning championships with Ran and Chad Brinker. Look, I can believe him. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily absolve all of the reports that we've seen that the relationship just isn't working. But let's get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I'm also wondering, are you guys starring in a new Pink Panther movie as like a detective duo?
Yeah.
D-Mace is Jacques Clouseau.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I will be starring as the Pink Panther. Coming 2025. What text your text in?
Inspector
says,
Clouseau.
Yeah, right, exactly. Someone texts your text in and says, it's nobody's business who makes the final say but the people in that building. You would like to know and you want to know, but it's not your business. It's also probably more complicated than just a yes or no answer. Of course it's our business. Titans fans spend their money on tickets to go watch the team. They spend their money on jerseys and Titans stuff. They're invested into this team. Of course it's our business, and I think it's important to know because you need to know who to blame. You need to know who to put, you know, the problems or the issues or the bad decisions that this team has made. You do it in sports. That if you trade a player away and it's a bad trade and, you know, you acquire bad contracts, well, that's on the general manager. The general manager gets fired. If you lose games, it falls on the coach. That's what sports is. It's a blame game. So, yes, it absolutely is our business to know who is making the decisions for the local football team.
Yeah, it is. Listen, the minute they stop asking for our tax money, then it could be all their business. Mm-hmm. The minute – give us all of our tax money back, and then it could be y'all business. But the minute you start taking our tax money, then it becomes our – you have inserted us into the business of football. That's just how it is. You can't have on one hand and say it's none of your business, but then, you know, you're asking for this. And listen, I'm not putting – you know, the Titans are going to let you know what they want you to know, whether we believe it's our business or not. But the way this team has been operating, the way this team has looked on the field, all of these sort of like smokestacks or fires that it seemed to be popping up over here and there from different people makes you think like what's really going on. That's all the fans want to know. If the team's winning, nobody cares. That's just how it is.
Right.
Team's winning, nobody cares. But when the team's not winning, then everybody wants answer. Like, yeah, what's really going on here? So you can't say, oh, it's none of our business. Yes, to an extent, yes, but when you're asking for taxpayers' money, it is their business.
Like, I don't need
That's
to
like
know.
Saying, like, oh, what politicians do in office is none of our business. Yes, it
yes,
is.
Yes, it is.
We are asking for our tax money, aren't you?
Like, I don't need to know when Rand Carthon goes to the bathroom
exactly.
in the morning. Like, that's none of my business.
I don't need
business.
To know what he drinks for what type of coffee he drinks. No, I don't care.
But who makes the decisions? That's yes, very much so our business. Florida Titan Texan says, to further D-Mace's point, when J-Rob was hired as general manager, it wasn't tabbed by Amy Adams Drunk as a collaboration between J-Rob and Malarkey. Why is that?
It's a different setup. I think there's no doubt that I think it's a different dynamic when the coach is already established as a pretty big name, established coach, well-known player, and then a young first-year GM comes in. That's a different dynamic than general manager hires the head coach, which is what I would call the traditional model.
Yeah.
So we've always known that.
Yeah, and that's why I think we have so many questions, because it sort of went out of protocol of how they do it. But Florida Titan does have a point, like, because it's sort of like the same scenario in a sense. You already had your head coach in place, and then you had decided to go hire another GM. Mm-hmm. Mike Mularkey was already in place. They hired John Robinson. The words collaboration was never a part of the hiring process. So why is it all of a sudden now it's a collaboration? It could be this. Mike Mularkey didn't really care about power. Mm-hmm. He didn't care. I just want to coach my team. That's all I want to do. Get me some players. Evaluate the players right. Give me some players. And I'm a coach. I mean, he did a good job at coaching this team the 2 years he was here. Maybe Mike Vrabel wants power. When you want power, we got to mask it by collaboration. We can't say, you know, it's Rand's the guy that's running everything.
Mm-hmm. I have worked under that assumption that Vrabel earned a higher level of say,
and he earned
if you want to call it power, call it whatever you want to lay it. But he's got a bigger influence on what goes on than he did under Robinson.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a different dynamic. Right. And the reason.
So, since I'm just coming in on this, D-Mace, you weren't here yesterday. Caroline and I obviously discussed this a lot yesterday. But do you believe that Vrabel sincerely wants to stay? He's got two more years on his contract. Wants to stay here, go through this rebuild. And when he says with Rand, with Chad, do you believe that that is sincere?
Well, let's get into your thought on that, your answer to that question coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.